And this work with Carol Mais. Okay, and you have 12 minutes and then I can stand up. Okay.
Good morning. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for your attention. This morning I'll be presenting on a variety trial of cider apples grown in the U.S. Pacific Northwest, evaluated in terms of flower, fruit, and juice quality characteristics. To provide a brief background, cider apples are smaller than dessert apples, which has an implication on harvest labor. Also, demand is driven by internal rather than external aesthetics, which has an implication on how and when fruit are harvested. Now, little information exists on the productivity and quality of cider apples grown in the United States, and comparisons of European databases on cultivar performance have found significant variation due to time and location. Bottom line, U.S. cider apple growers need U.S.-specific data. Overall, data on cultivar performance is important because it saves time and money in understanding cultivar response. I believe the dessert apple industry in Washington State is a good example. Large consolidation has been driven by the money and time it takes to plant and manage an orchard up to and through peak productivity. The location of this variety trial, as indicated by the red dot, was the Washington State University, Mount Vernon, Northwestern Washington Research and Extension Center, west of the Cascades, and the climate is classified as maritime climate. In Washington State, cider apples were first reported to be planted in the western half of the state because that mimicked the source where the trees were coming from, regions including Devon, England, Normandy, France, and Hesse, Germany. The environment. This variety trial was planted half acre in Skagit silt loam. During the growing season, which we termed as March through September, the average air temperature was 14.4 degrees Celsius, about 58 Fahrenheit, 77% relative humidity, and the average monthly precipitation was 51 millimeters, or about 2 inches. Dormant season, average air temperature 6.7, or 44 Fahrenheit, 86% relative humidity, and average monthly precipitation 95 millimeters, or about 3.7 inches. And again, on this graph of temperature over the time period of data collection from 2000-2015, not really extremes, it's a mild maritime climate. Orchard management. Trees were spaced 12 feet by 16 feet, or 3.6 by 4.8 meters, and they're generally trained, or they're all trained to a central leader, as indicated or shown by the left figure. And the trees are fertilized, irrigated, specifically drip, and sprayed following recommended regional commercial practices. Our pest management schedule provided in the table 2 on the right. The cultivars that were evaluated was 17 cider apples and 1 dessert apple. The 1 dessert apple was the Red Gravenstein Worthen strain originating from Denmark. We provided that for dessert apple growers who are looking to convert or dedicate land to cider apple production. You'll note rootstocks are listed, Malling 26, 9, and Malling Merton 106. That is because replication was insufficient to look at the effect of rootstock, and rootstock has been shown to have an effect on bloom and fruit load. Data that was collected, 4 general areas, bloom, pre-harvest fruit load, fruit size, and juice quality characteristics. So the first bloom, the first measurement performed was timing of bloom. Every year, beginning mid-April, trees were observed weekly until full bloom date. Generally, full bloom date is the date when the petals of the king blossom, the center dominant blossom begin to fall. That was recorded, and this data collected a minimum of 6 years, average of 9 years. Based on that full bloom date, we were able to categorize the cultivars as early, mid, or late blooming. Then we looked at bloom density, and that was subjectively rated on a scale of 1 to 5. These are actually trellised, but next year we need to get more photos, but these are photos we had to exemplify on the left, 1 equaling sparse to no bloom, and the right, 5 snowball bloom, or more specifically, an abundance of bloom where we'd recommend thinning of blooms to avoid biennial or more generally irregular bearing. Based on the bloom density, we categorize the cultivars from strongly biennial to strongly consistent. We utilize a formula adapted from Hoblin et al. If you look at the formula, it's basically the difference, absolute difference in bloom density over consecutive years divided by the sum averaged over the period of evaluation. And the index ranged from 0 to 1. We looked at pre-harvest fruit load. So every year, September to October, we rated the productivity of each cultivar, again, subjectively from 1 to 5. left figure showing a 1, sparse to no fruit, and the right figure showing a 5, overloaded, or more specifically, multiple fruit per spur, causing the branches to bend to the ground. Similarly to as before, based on the productivity, we calculate an index of biennial bearing, same absolute difference over consecutive years divided by the sum, average over the period of evaluation, index ranging from 0 to 1. Fruit maturity, September, October, we monitored using starch iodine index, 3 fruit sampled per tree weekly from different quadrants of the trees. Trees were on average harvested when fruit were rated on an 8.5 and 9-point scale using the BC Ontario scale. It's important to remember that cider apple growers want fully ripe fruit. More fermentable sugar, fructose, and glucose provide a greater potential alcohol content. Now, we also monitored degree bricks with a handheld refractometer on the left, and we monitored seed color. Because some of the cultivars, for example, Kingston Black, provided us inconsistent starch readings, two factors could have been, one, some of these cultivars may have had high amylopectin content, which has been reported with Fuji apple, and or it could have been some of these cultivars we've noticed are more bitter or have higher polyphenol content. So the solution, potassium iodine, possibly needs to be altered if we were to use that solution still for these cultivars. We measure fruit diameter. We use a tape measure method, 25 randomly selected fruit lined up on a tape measure, average total length divided by 25. And again, we categorize based on size class from small to large. Finally, juice quality characteristics. 25 randomly selected fruit milled, pressed, and the juice collected. Minimum 5 years, average of 7. We collected 4 specific measurements. 1, tannin, percent tannic acid equivalence. That is important because tannin is an indication of perception of bitterness astringency. We looked at titratable acidity, percent malic acid equivalence, indication of perception of sourness. Looked at specific gravity, again an indication of potential alcohol. And we looked at pH. pH is important because it's an indicator of microbial stability during fermentation. The main stabilizing agent, being SO2, is pH-dependent in terms of its effectiveness. We looked at, based on the juice quality characteristics, we were able to classify the cultivars according to the English cider classification system. 4 general classes, bittersweet, bittersharp, sharp, and sweet. To achieve a better bitter designation, tannin had to be greater than 0.20% tannic acid equivalence, and to achieve a sharp designation, greater than 0.45% malic acid equivalence. Cider makers currently are most seeking the bittersweet and bittersharp apples. Again, they'll provide you more of the characteristic bitterness and astringency, and they're also harder to find. Finally, we're able to calculate potential ABV based on the specific gravity readings. So to get to some of the results, if you looked at bloom for these 18 cultivars, ranged from 25th of April to 25th of May, the earliest and latest bloom dates correlated with our highest and lowest mean spring temperatures. If you look at full bloom time, there's a positively skewed distribution. 3 of the 18 apple cultivars classified as late bloomers. Bramley seedling was our had the lowest bloom density. Golden Russet had the highest bloom density, from little to abundant blooming. And if you look at the habit of blooming, 17 of 18 were rated as consistent to strongly consistent bloomers. Solely Kermarian was a biennial bloomer. Look at productivity. Canfield was our lowest producer of fruit, little to no fruit, and Grimes Golden was our highest producer of fruit. It's abundant. The distribution of productivity was symmetric, 10 of 18 cultivars rated as consistent producers of fruit. Now, 3 of these cultivars were classified as consistent bloomers, but biennial producers of fruit. This is most likely a product of inadequate orchard management during this time period from 2000 to 2015. It's a research center. There's fluctuation in orchard staff, so it could have been possibly inadequate thinning and pruning. Look at fruit size. Bramtot, 2.2 inches in diameter, was our smallest cider apple, and Bramley seedling, our largest apple, at almost 4 inches in diameter. Finally, juice quality characteristics. 5 of the 18 cider apple cultivars received a bittersweet or bittersharp designation, again, the most sought-after cider apple. Interestingly, three of the cultivars did not receive a bitter designation at our site, but they were reported to receive that designation at the Long Aston Research Station in England. As discussed in our publication last year, looking at regional differences in central and western Washington, we believe the difference is due to intense management at our location versus the pastoral orchards in Long Aston Research Station. More intense management, less stressed trees, less need for defensive compounds with bitterness and astringency. If you look at ABV, Golden Russet, the highest ABV, almost 9%, and Vilbrey the lowest, around 5.5%. Bramley seedling, the juice provided a pH of 3.15. That's significant. It's below the cider maker's optimal range of 3.3 to 3.7. So we'd recommend you either add sodium carbonate, a base, or you blend with a more basic juice. And Canfield had the highest pH, 4.4, again, above the optimal range. So again, you should blend with another juice, in this case, a more acidic juice, or add some malic acid. So our conclusions, Golden Russet, Grimes, Golden, Yarlington Mill were strongly consistent producers of medium-sized fruit, but were not classified as bitter. Bramtot, Chisel Jersey, and Breakwell Seedling were consistent producers of small to medium-sized fruit and were classified as bitter. The early-blooming cultivars Canfield and Golden Russet may be well-suited for regions with fire blight pressure. However, they lacked the bitter designation, so they may be optimal for the grower, but in terms of the cider maker, they may not be sought after. So that's something to consider in planting them. And finally, development of maturity metrics specific to cider apple cultivars should allow for greater precision in harvesting cultivars that do not provide consistent readings with the current metrics, specifically the starch iodine index. Future work, evaluation of additional 12 cultivars should be completed in the next 3 years. They include Vidan Departs and Hughes Virginia Crab. And duplication of the evaluations with our newer replicated orchards will allow for assessment of more factors such as rootstock and fertilizer. In closing, I'd like to acknowledge the Washington State Department of Agriculture, Washington State University Center for Sustaining Agriculture and Natural Resources, the Northwest Agriculture Research Foundation, the Northwest Cider Association, and State Project. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions. Yes. It's a very good question. I was going to qualify it during my presentation. In our location, fire blight is not an issue. So that was more of an observation for those who face it, probably the eastern half of the state. So I cannot comment on fire blight because at our center, it's not an issue that we face. I believe the question was, were they managed in terms of, let's say, fertilizer commercially? So we followed commercial practice in the region, but I think if I know what you're getting at, we did not stimulate vigor season after season. We followed practices. Cultivated them to maturity, and then from that point just did maintenance in terms of pruning and et cetera.
Okay, another question there?
I'm interested from a, I guess, a production point of view, what's the rough percentage of apple juice and cider that come from orchards that's dedicated to cider production, and what's the opportunity to grow?
Very good question. So talking to cider makers, they've told me that a lot of the base of cider is dessert apples, specifically cold dessert apples. The average price per pound of a cold dessert apple last year was about 17 cents. The price per pound of a cider apple was 35 cents. So a lot of them are using dessert apples for the base, but there's no numbers reported on that. So I cannot provide a percentage of how much the cider or the cider you purchase on the store shelf, how much of it is actually from cider apple trees. In terms of Washington State, we estimate about 300 acres of cider apples are planted, and that's probably one of the highest numbers in the country. So dessert apples is probably significant, but I don't have a figure at this time. Well, up until the early 20th century, more cider was consumed than water because it was safer to drink. So at that time, it was maybe a cider a day kept you away from the doctor. But any other questions? Yes. Very good question, especially given our labor force, but also wanting to keep it uniform, random. When the tree, the random selection reached our 8.5 score, let's say the starch is what we went with, the whole tree was harvested. And then from that whole, before we harvested the whole tree, we took our 25 randomly selected fruit from the four quadrants of the tree, and then that whole tree was harvested and the whole numbers are provided for the yield and all that.
Okay. So, thank you.
Thank you.